It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brandon Groover. I'm Luke. Tongue-tied.
Uh-oh. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, he's touching the microphone.
Yes, I'm trying to raise it up. Raise it up.
He said he wouldn't touch the microphone. Yep,
I heard him say that. Right. He was not going to touch the microphone.
Right. This is a reaction. Welcome to the Brandon Groover News Hour. Yay. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers of the world.
Because of Mom. I'll tell you what.
Yep, that's right.
I would not be here.
Wouldn't be here this morning. Happy Mother's Day, Mother. Happy Mother's Day, Tiffany. Happy Mother's Day, Grandmother. Happy Mother's Day, Mother-in-law. Happy Mother's Day to everybody who I know. Happy Mother's Day to every mother who's listening to the sound of my voice. Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes, 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 yes. What's up, fellas?
Oh, it's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. Actually, the start of a beautiful weekend.
Yes.
Yes.
And this
yes.
should be sunny right on through Monday. Right.
Oh, that's a weather report.
Even at night, it's going to be so sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not.
Get your blankets. It's going to be cool tonight.
Yes.
We have AJ in the cut. What's up, AJ?
Hey, you are, man. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful weekend. And, of course, we're all thinking of Mom, and my mom's no longer with us physically, but she's always with you. Your mom is always with you.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. Carrying half of her jeans or
That's
whatever.
Right. That's right. What's up, Doug?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about this day. I'm excited about this show, and I'm excited about the future. Good things are happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on today's broadcast, we're going to reminisce. We're going to look back at our lives over the past year. Due to the pandemic, we will pay homage to the millions of citizens around the world who have lost their lives during the pandemic. We will discuss how the pandemic has affected America. We will also look at the lockdowns and the church closings and how they have led to a spike in violent crime. In 2020, we saw 4,000 additional homicides. Also, school closures have also slowed down America's academic performance. Also, the national debt has exploded to $27 trillion. That's when I checked last month. It may be a couple of trillion. Who's counting?
That's right.
A trillion here, a trillion there.
Yeah, it's all real money.
Oh,
who's counting? So I recommend abandoning physical austerity. I know this is a conservative radio show. But there is no way you're going to cut spending. You're not going to cut $7 trillion in spending. You're just not going to do it. So let's be the adult broadcast, and let's just be real with ourselves. I recommend that we abandon this physical austerity. That's not going to happen. I recommend the Federal Reserve should monetize the debt similar to what the Japanese did with their monetary system. We must grow our economy or risk increased radicalization and tribalization of the American political system. I am not saying that it should be a Biden plan. I'm not saying it should be a Republican plan. But what I'm saying is there's no way. I mean, we can do wishful thinking. There's no way we're going to cut $7 trillion to balance what we've done due to the pandemic. I say you just write it off and call it a day.
So let me just ask you a question. Okay, so here's an analogy, a metaphor.
Yes.
So let's just say I've gotten some debt.
Yes.
I've gotten into a lot of debt, more debt than I can pay in the next several years. I can't earn that amount.
Are you being America?
Yes.
How about you can't pay it for 100 years?
I can't pay it for 100 years. This debt is going to outlive me.
Ouch.
So at that point, what you're saying is, well, let's just go have a party.
I didn't say have a party.
Let's just go spend some money.
I didn't say have a party.
Well, what are you saying? Spend some money.
What I'm saying, you have 10. This is the thing. We can sit back and we can play the old game where we say, you know, we're going to cut spending to balance this budget. You have 10 million Americans who are unemployed. Capitalism is not as in fashion. We're the capitalist people on this show, mm-hmm. but the socialist people seem to be making gains. I never thought that you could have open socialists getting elected in the United States. Franklin Roosevelt, when he saw that the socialist was taking over, the way you shut down the socialist is you deliver a strong economy. If we try to cut our way out of this, which there's no way, I don't see it. There's no way. I'm not endorsing President Biden's spending program. But what I'm saying is from a macroeconomic perspective, that we need to come to a realization that this debt has got to a point that we will never be able to pay it. Because when interest rates, the reason right now, the interest rates that the federal government are paying are like 1-2%. When the economy normalizes, that's going to go from $250 billion a year in debt service to $1 trillion. So you're going to have $1 trillion in debt service. That's more than we spent on defense. So you have a choice. Either we cut spending by $700 billion, which we're not going to do because nobody wants to touch Social Security and Medicare, the real entitlement programs that are blowing up the debt. And then the other side of the coin, who is for tax hikes? So you're going to raise taxes or you're going to slash spending. Last time I checked, USA has a global reserve currency. The past years or so, we've ran this debt up on programs that have not really affected the real people. What I'm saying is that we need to have a come together meeting and figure out how we're going to move forward, because the old lines of tax and spend and slash and cut, the numbers just don't add up. On top of this pandemic, you have, I think, 80-something thousand senior citizens. Well, 80,000 people who are graduating into the Social Security program. That's 80,000 people. Social Security is already in the red, but you're going to we're going to move all these people from the workforce, and they're going to retire. So that's going to put more pressure on Social Security. It's going to put more pressure on the Medicare program. So we were already in trouble before the pandemic hit. The U.S. Debt to GDP has passed 100%. So what I'm saying is we need to have an adult conversation. Any politician who tells you that he's going to cut spending is lying to you, because you can't cut your way out. If you cut, the only place to cut to see that difference, you got to cut Social Security or Medicare or defense. If you cut welfare and all that stuff the Republicans like to talk about, that stuff, I think it comes up about $200 billion. You're still $700 billion short. So we're talking about math. So when I looked at the numbers, and I'm saying there's no way we're going to pay off this debt. But before we get sad on ourselves, let's talk about where we've been over the past year with the pandemic. Because remember, I think during World War II, we got to 100% of our GDP. And, you know, as far as debt to GDP, fighting World War II. We've done this again with this pandemic. Every president, Obama, Bush, Trump, every president doubled the debt over the 8 years. Trump only did four. But every president doubled the debt before they left. And I'm just saying, when are we going to have the adult conversation about where we go from here? I'm not saying that it has to be infrastructure spending. I'm just saying that with this huge debt cabal, you have 10 million people unemployed. You have a lot of people in the country who, you know, if you look at the trend over the past 30 years for the 1970s, you know, wages have flatlined. The manufacturing base has been outsourced. You know, I'm just thinking out loud on, you know, where do we go from here? Because the thing is, this is the issue that we have with capitalism. When you have people who don't have, when they're outside the system, they're not going to just stay outside the system. You know, nobody's going to say, you know what, I'm suffering. I'm just going to suffer. So what happens, you have this other side that comes over, and they say, hey, join the socialist wagon. The capitalists are your enemies. Now, we know that's a lie, but I'm just saying this is how people get elected. They take misery, and they run on it. So what I'm saying is, you know, Democrats, Republicans, let's come together, and let's figure out some type of a real economic stimulus plan. Not this infrastructure program that they're talking about, where only 9% of the money is going to build roads and bridges. What I'm saying is we need to put people to work, because guess what? If they're working, they're paying taxes. You're going to take care of them one way or the other. You're either going to create jobs, or you're going to, you're not going to let them starve. Because what's going to happen? The hungry people are going to vote for the socialist people.
And if enough people vote, they can take anything they want.
Right.
Because they've got the guns.
Right.
So what you're suggesting is that we stimulate our way to recovery, and you're doing that through government spending.
It's all spending.
What if you just reduce the taxes so that people will, so that people then, the businesses started to grow and hire more people?
That still requires debt. Because if you don't, I'm not telling the government how to spend the money. Like I said, I'm not telling the Democrats what to do, or they're not going to listen to me anyway. But you have the Democrats on one side that are for more spending, the Republicans on the other side for tax cuts. Guess what? If you cut taxes, but you fail to decrease spending, how do you balance it? You're borrowing money. So all I'm saying is, the CBO has said that every year, these aren't my numbers, the Congressional Budget Office has said that the United States is going to borrow $1 trillion every year until the printing press breaks.
And does our money really have any value if they just keep printing it? And then you were suggesting maybe canceling it, canceling the debt.
Yep.
So then it would be, in a sense, it would be worthless, wouldn't it?
Yep. I, this is what I say. You know, two things you could do in this situation. You can either tell the world to keep the Ponzi scheme going, because this is a Ponzi scheme. You know, it's a Ponzi scheme. You're taking money from China to pay China. It's a Ponzi scheme. Now, I recommend, you know, you get together all the leading economists, China, Russia, Japan, and all of the other ones, and have a Bretton Woods conference, and either cancel the debt out or monetize it. But something has to be done. This debt is 100% of GDP, with a retirement boom on the way, Social Security, Medicare. Then you have 10 million people unemployed on top of that, plus all the stimulus. The United States borrowed $8 trillion over the past 2 years on top of the $4 trillion that we spent to run the government on top of that. So, but nobody's talking about the real issue. And like I said, the money, it's a quagmire. But we're just having a conversation. I'm not ruling which way or the other. Marty, chime on in.
Okay, first of all, it's my extreme pleasure to always be on your program. I want to mention that right now we're at a dangerous precipice in our history. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, I'm a firm believer in capitalism, but I think I mentioned to you last week that stupid is taking over. For example, in Jacksonville, that people are worried about renaming the schools, and some kids want to have more black studies in school. And I want to know how many of these kids who are going to take black studies are going to go out and have marketable skills when they finish high school. I want to also mention that some people, like in New York, I think it was de Blasio, was saying that by 2025, he wants to have everybody riding in electric cars, and now they're talking about they're all of a sudden giving gas and all of these other fuels, which we've used for years. They're calling them fossil fuels, and they want to go to restorable energy. So I'm going to ask you a question. As far as I know, which is the country that is the leader in electric, electric cells, photovoltaics? What's the country that leads in the world, photovoltaics, like those solar electric panels?
I would say either China or the United States.
It's China. That's right. It's right. It's China. So we want to go out there, and we want to use photovoltaic. Well, first of all, folks, like you just saw happen in Texas when they had an ice storm because they didn't have enough sun or whatever. Photovoltaics is good as a backup if you're running, like if you're powering a little RV or whatever. But things that have worked for years and years, for example, when I was a kid, they first came out with the use of nuclear energy, and it was a clean energy. And to this date, we've never had a problem other than Three Mile Island where nobody was hurt. That was in Pennsylvania. I think it was in 1986, whereas in Chernobyl, Russia, they had a catastrophe and a lot of people were killed. Folks, this is not Russia. This is the United States. And the people in charge who have an agenda, and I believe they're pushing the New World Order agenda, they're trying to demonize what we've been using for years. I think what they want to come up with next is rubber band powered wind-up cars, that you, or else, as I told you, at 95, just push the cars. And you want to know something? If you look at newsreels of Europe after World War II, like in Germany, they had cars with no gas and horses were pulling them. And I think that's what they want in this country. I think the people who are pushing it are called nihilists, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-T-S. And those are people who think that everything's going to happen. It's terrible. Global warming, whatever. They're making a situation that doesn't exist. Also, when Ronald Reagan did away with, he lowered a lot of taxes. It stimulated the economy. The only way to boost the economy is to, like Henry Ford, when he started the production line with the Model T Ford and stuff like that. But socialism doesn't work. It hasn't worked in any of the countries of the world, and it's not going to work here. But the people who are, like, for example, I'm not going to mention a name because you told me not to attack any politicians, but one of our senators wants to have throughout the United States we should legalize marijuana. Then we're going to have 50 states of dopes or whatever. And smoking marijuana doesn't help the economy to be rich or whatever. So what we have to do is go back to the days of the inventors, Thomas Edison, George Washington Carver, people. Benjamin Franklin was a great inventor. But when we talk about this nonsense of this country is in a mess, it's in a mess because we're throwing out, just like with the nuclear family, we're saying it doesn't work. And we're going back to caveman stuff in terms of people just living together, as the Bible says, living in sin. And I'll tell you something else, as far as the sexual act, the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. It doesn't say be fruitful and fornicate, whatever. So we're violating everything that's worked in the past, and that doesn't lead to anything. I want your history students out there to look up Germany in the 30s, and I would say we are right now where Germany was in the 30s, a lot of debauchery. And remember the Weimar Republic, which didn't last long. But right now, the United States, we're Berlin in 1938. We're on an orgy of getting high, feeling good. And then, like, for example, when World War II started, a lot of these countries had a nothing military, France, Poland, or else they had World War I equipment. And they were taking over like nothing. We need a strong defense. Look at what China is doing. China is building up a huge military, and there is no perceived threat to China. They want hegemony, which means one country being the boss. Yep. They want to take over the whole world. And anyway, that's what I got to say.
Wow.
And I agree with most of the things that Brandon Groover says, and I want to just thank you for keep your program going because it's a great program.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Marty. Appreciate it. Okay, so try to dissect some.
That's a lot to unpack.
You have a note. You said notes.
Yeah. So he started off with black studies and then went to restorable energy.
Okay. So as far as black studies are concerned, I think one of the biggest issues that we have in American education, especially the history, if you look at the history of the country, you don't get real American history. Like, it goes by too quickly. You know, when you go in, the last time I was in school, which wasn't that long ago, they pick up in the Shakespearean era, in the 1600s, And then at the end of the school year, the last thing the kids learn is there's about to be a civil war. So they don't learn about all the progress that were made. The only thing they learn about the country is that there were slaves. So I do think, like, the way you beat a lie is with the truth. And a lot of the, we talked last week on the show about whether or not America is a racist country. I shot that down. Because if you read the history of the country, it is a story of progress. So, you know, if the black studies, if the curriculum is pro-American, you know, not so much pro-American or anti-American, but just tell the truth. The truth will show that this is the only country on the planet that has advanced as quick as it has. So, you know, I know we're the love to hate yourself people. You know, we love to hate ourselves, you know, but if you look at the United States and compare it to any other country on the planet, you know, it's the best option available. You go to Europe, if Europe was such a hot spot, you know, why do we get American immigrants from Europe? If China was the best game in town, why do we get immigrants from every part of the planet? I always say you don't escape from paradise.
Mm.
So that's how I feel about black studies. What else you got, Doug?
All right, restorable energy.
I think we have to be careful with this Green New Deal and with this this climate change stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the record, the United States is the only country that hit its targets under the Kyoto Accord. The other countries that signed up to prevent climate change, all of them fell flat. You know why? Because the U.S. got rid of the coal and moved to the natural gas. So in my opinion, the Democratic Party, it's all politics. They want to go after the oil because the oil companies, you know, shoot the money to the Republicans. So it's all a game.
Mm-hmm.
All a game.
Good. Any comments on marijuana?
In my opinion, I don't like the fact that we lock people up. Like, we're 5% of the world's population, 25% of the world's prisoners. So I'm not in favor of locking people. If you want to smoke weed, I don't care. If somebody gives a study and say weed makes you less intelligent, that's your business. Because if we criminalize, you're subsidizing people in prison at $70,000 a year. We're talking on the show about the debt crisis that we have. So I think we need to figure out on how to, you know, kind of dial back all this wanting to put people in prison for everything. So it should be decriminalized. I'm not saying we should promote it, but I'm not locking people up for marijuana. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, can you jump in for a second?
Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I just really appreciate getting to hear your perspective on so many things.
Thank you.
And I'm just a little concerned about this whole freedom of speech thing, mm-hmm. and how people are shutting down other people or not wanting to talk to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a time when people just sat and freely discussed ideas, regardless if they agreed or not,
right.
to kind of explore, well, what do you think?
Right.
And I was just wondering what you think about where we are and how we can maybe move forward in a way that's possibly more productive.
Okay, Lisa, so I think we're about to hit a commercial break, but if you can hang with us, we'll finish the dialogue because I do have a thought on it. I think a lot of it is because when people don't have good arguments, they want to say, okay, well, tell the other side to shut up. Instead of having, if you have a strong argument, you should be able to debate people and hold your own. But when you want to shut down speech or shut down a president off of social media, you know, that shows the people who are shutting down have weak arguments that don't stand, that can't stand, you know, a test of being, you know, countered. So that's my opinion on it. But I think that's very dangerous, you know, the way we're moving in this country. So let's hang tight. We're going to continue to talk about how the country has been changed by the pandemic. Lisa, hang through the commercial break. We'll finish on the other side.
Sounds great. It's the Brandon Groover News Hour on Talk Radio WBOB. We'll be back, and Lisa, hang in there, and Brandon will reply and discuss a little bit further.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters. The recovery of America's job market hit a pause last month as many businesses, from restaurants and hotels to factories and construction companies, struggled to find enough workers to catch up with a rapidly strengthening economic rebound. Employers added just 266,000 jobs in April, sharply lower than in March, and far fewer than economists had expected. With viral cases declining and states and localities easing restrictions, the recovery from the pandemic recession has been so fast that many businesses have been caught flat-footed in the face of surging consumer demand. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 229 points, the NASDAQ rose 119, the S&P 500 advancing 30, and crude oil up 19 cents to close at $64.90 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Today, I'm Patrick Johnson. Students recovering following a school bus crash this morning in downtown Jacksonville. 13 students aboard the Jacksonville Classic Academy bus at the time of the accident. 5 students taken to the hospital. We are told that they and the bus driver are expected to be okay. The person inside the vehicle apparently had serious injuries. Orange Park police detectives are looking for a man in connection to a stolen trailer full of Lynyrd Skynyrd memorabilia that was going to be used for a charity event. OPPD says an arrest warrant has been issued for William James Walker for grand theft. Walker's known to live transiently and frequents different hotels in the Jacksonville area. A naked man barricading himself inside a vehicle along I-95 in Glynn County in Georgia, claiming to have a bomb. SWAT reportedly on the scene. This near the interchange of 17 and I-95. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of an accident on the West Beltway 295 northbound between the Buckman Bridge and US 17 Roosevelt Boulevard. Also, there's another accident on 295 northbound before Collins Road, and there's an accident on San Jose Boulevard northbound at Corey Road, blocking the right lane. Clear and cool tonight. Expect a low about 49. Saturday will start the weekend sunny with a high 80. Your spring camping headquarters 7 days a week is A Army Navy Depot, San Juan and Blanding. A Army Navy Depot is Jacksonville's only military surplus store with 4,000 square feet of camo clothes, boots like Rothko, original SWAT, Altima and Proper, shorts, tanks and tees, kids' clothes, plate carriers and plates and more. Check out the survivor needs, military flags and pins, security, DOC and first responder gear. Gift cards available. A Army Navy Depot, 4721 San Juan Avenue at Blanding.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 152-6479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Thank you, gang. Welcome back to Act 2 of the Brandon Groover News Hour. Thank you, Lisa, for hanging in there. You know what, Lisa? You brought some really good points. I hardly recognize this country. Because, you know, we've always had two sides, you know, the Dems, the Republicans, they debate, and whomever brought the best perspective, that's the side that, you know, but now we're pretty much telling people not to speak. That's not cool.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about when people slap on the label misinformation mm-hmm. when somebody's expressing a viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I know personally when I've had kind of issues with a particular person whether it's at, in personal life or at work. And I go to that person and I sit down peaceably and I kind of hint at the basic topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, what do you think about whatever? And if I just sit there and listen, I'll learn all kinds of things that I never even thought about.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the discussion that ensues is so much more beneficial and like leads to a position of like a mutual beneficial standpoint.
Right, right, right. I agree. And if you look back at what made America great, it's not a Trump endorsement, but if you look at what made the country great, when you had the different immigrants, well, the African Americans, it wasn't quite immigration, but you get my point. The African Americans, the Europeans, the Asians, you know, all these different groups came to the country and you got the best of every culture. And that's what made this country number one. When you take from other people, and you know what? It's like exchanging ideas, like exchanging gifts, you know? So I think if we don't get a handle on this cancel culture, you know, I think we're going to end up canceling ourselves. Because if you look at the media, you have a conservative media and a liberal media, and they don't, if you watch Fox News all day or watch CNN all day, you're going to get one perspective. And it's even with, and I think this is dangerous as well, when they banned President Trump from Facebook. Okay, Trump is about to go and create his own social media platform. I don't like that idea because I don't diss him from doing it, but what are we like? The Democrats have one social media platform. The Republicans have a social media platform. The Democrats drank Coke. The Republicans drank Pepsi. I mean, this is kind of, you know, I just don't think that's cool. I think you learn from people by interacting with, it's like men. When men interact with women in a workplace, it kind of makes you calm down. When women are in companies, the companies tend to take less risk. In other words, women make companies better. But when you have like all male fraternities and all female fraternities, you know, it kind of gets a little wacky. So what I'm calling for is Mark Zuckerberg, let Trump speak, because what's going to happen? Number one is I don't even see how that's good for business. If all the Republicans leave Facebook, that's half the country. That's half of your, so I don't even get, is making money not in fashion anymore? I don't get it. But
you're going to have to reinstate some respect.
Right. Right.
Because people aren't listening to each other. And you made a great point, because if you're listening to a liberal media, then you're listening to one thing. You're listening to Fox News. You're listening to another thing.
Yep.
And they're not listening to each other. They're just criticizing the other.
Yep. And I'm not trying to be the boogeyman for Mother's Day. But the last time we tried this, you have your own news. I have my own news. You have your views. I have my views. It ended up in a civil war. So when you have people in the, so that's not cool. You shouldn't have a country where, in New York, we think this way. In Texas and Florida, we think this way. You know, this is supposed to be the United States of America, not the North and the South. I mean, we tried this before. It didn't end well. So I just think that we need to, like I always tell people, if you're repeating what you hear on CNN, or if you're repeating everything you hear on Fox News, that does not make you smart. That makes you a parrot. You're only parroting what another person has said. Let's talk to people, engage with people. If you talk, you'll say, you know what? I may not agree with their perspective, but that doesn't mean they're evil. People can have different views based upon how they were raised, religion. And it makes you a richer person when you can talk to other people and get a better idea. You got anything else, Lisa?
Well, I agree that silo mentality leads to further division.
Yep.
I was talking to this one gal who came to the U.S. from either Russia or a Soviet bloc nation,
mm-hmm.
you know, former Soviet bloc nation. And I was asking her, you know, what was it like? And she was telling me, you know, I love it over here because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
over there, if you said anything, you would next have somebody knock on your door and they would take you to jail.
Yep.
So this was like 10 years ago that she said that. And I'm just so sad that we seem to be moving in that direction, that, you know, if you speak your mind about this or that, not necessarily the government will come after you, but there will be serious repercussions.
Right.
For example, you could get fired from your job.
Yep.
Or you could get removed from such and such, you know, way of communicating with people or whatever. I mean, I just think we're moving in the wrong direction in the realm of freedom of speech.
Yep, I agree, Lisa. I agree. And the First Amendment, and thank you, Lisa, for the call. The First Amendment that this country, the First Amendment is Congress shall make no laws prohibiting the free exercise of free speech and prohibiting the media, religious freedom, and all that kind of stuff. So if it's the First Amendment, I think it was the first for a reason. If you can't speak freely, if I can tell you what to say, I can also tell you what to think. And that's very weird and un-American. Stan, jump in, my man.
Yeah, you are correct on that part, definitely on that part here. But since 1980, when it came to education, before 1980, we were second, third in education.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we close to 25th.
Mm.
When it comes to education, so that's where you have a lot of your problem here.
Mm-hmm.
But number the most important thing is telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This country will never be able to get to its true glory until it tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
and wherever the truth may fall,
mm-hmm.
That's what we see when it comes to the think tank here. Our research show we have education problem,
mm-hmm.
and the education has to be about inclusive in the education where everybody play a part, everybody
right.
contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we continue to talk about this party, that party, conservative or liberals and all that, we're not going anywhere.
Yep.
We need to start from the bottom and rebuild our foundation here.
Yep.
The laws on the books that are ethical, we need to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are unethical, we need to get rid of them. And we need to come together here, but we have to be honest. Yes. And we definitely, when it comes to the African-American community here, because first of all, before I say what I'm about to say here, we have some African-Americans right here in Jacksonville. They're doing more damage to the African-American community since 1975 than any other time in this country. And it's appalling. Especially with the amount of money being spent in Jacksonville by African Americans, we should be able to create opportunity for ourselves, especially where we are the majority in the community. But the main point here I want to say is we have to find some empathy for each other.
Yep. I agree.
Yes, and I would definitely will be reaching out to you all through email.
Okay.
So we can set up our other event.
Okay.
But
down.
Yes, I agree with you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Stan.
Because you open it up for everybody to chime in. And the one thing I definitely respect about you, I have plenty of respect for you, is the fact that you let everybody speak.
Yep.
And, yeah, and give them a chance to say what's on their mind, because everybody is not an articulate. But they mean well.
Absolutely. And they're all taxpayers, and everybody's a citizen. So guess what? I don't, you know, it's this thing that we need to stop to as a country, that, you know, certain people deserve to be heard other than others. Everybody is a citizen. You take taxes out their check, so they get to be heard. So I'm with you on that, Stan.
Well, I had to say one thing quickly before you go.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to be honest with you here.
Uh-huh.
If regardless of race, if you hurt someone, physically hurt someone,
uh-huh.
you need to pay the price.
Yep.
And I'm having a problem with that. Nothing against anybody, but if you out there physically harming anyone, you need to pay the price.
Yep.
Now, when it comes to the drugs and all that that we have in this country, we need to relax the laws here, because there has been some injustice done to African Americans for the last 40 years
mm-hmm.
with the drug situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that right now we still have to deal with what's in front of us.
Yep.
And right now here, we have some people that's hurting people,
yep.
and they need to pay the price.
Yep, I agree, my man. But thank you, Stan. And that's why that's why I said earlier, Doug, when you were asking me about the marijuana,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, it was, I think Marty asked about the marijuana. I, you know, the war on drugs, if that was a war, it failed. You know, locking mass incarceration, locking people up for, if this is my opinion, I'm not saying we should go around handing out drugs like lollipops, but if a person, I'm not, why would I put you in prison because you're doing something to yourself? Like, yeah. That's not my business. Yeah. I mean, if you're hurting kids, okay, remove the kids from the home. But I never understood why. Well, I know why, but, you know, but it's Mother's Day weekend, so I'm not going to go there. But, the people who pushed that war on drugs bill, it was another way to put groups into prison. But we'll discuss that on another show. But my thing is, you know, locking mass incarceration for drugs, I mean, they're going to do it anyway. I can't make a person not use drugs. I can try to treat you. I can try to get you help. I can try to put money in mental health. But, you know, locking people up for, you know, I just don't see if the numbers show having tough laws brought down the number of drug users, then I could say, okay, maybe. But, you know, you're just wasting talent locking people up.
Yeah.
You're doing more harm to the home than
that's as Stanley opinion. Says, if you're not hurting somebody, then what's the point in locking them up?
Right.
I mean, if you are hurting somebody, certainly. Yep. And so if you become a drug dealer and then you would go out and hurt people,
lock them up.
Then that's okay.
Lock them up. And you know something? I was, I stay in St. John's. I called because they missed my garbage can. Mm. And I said, hey, you all missed the garbage. They came back and got it the same, like 20 minutes later. I bring that up because in St. John's County, they have smaller government. They only really focus on like the necessities of government. They're not trying to do this. So guess what? When the government is focusing on trying to incarcerate people for drugs, you know, they're trying to do this and this and this and that, you're not going to be able to focus on security, national security, because it's like being a jack of all trades, but master of none. And this is why, you know, we have this busybody government. You know, the Dems are talking about the Green New Deal. Well, let's deal with Medicare. Let's deal with Social Security. How are you going to talk about expanding spending by, you know, $90 trillion when we haven't dealt with the stuff that's already on the table? You know, we need to focus on how we're going to, you know, integrate the African-American community, you know, into the American system, meaning, you know, access to jobs, access to this. You know, same with the Latino community that's here. The same with the whites that are in Appalachia, the whites that are suffering in the Midwest. And what I always say on this show, I try to always bring the connections between, you know, what's happening in the black community and in the white community, because we're not as different as the media tries to portray us. They pick these issues to make, you know, the groups, you know, afraid of each other. And if I'm afraid of you, I won't try to get to understand you. And just like Lisa said earlier, you know, talking to people and having a conversation, it'll open up your mind to things that you have never, you know, thought about. But real quick, we don't have time to run the footage, but you know, let's talk about the changes. And thank you, Stan, for calling in. Let's talk about the changes that the country has seen, you know, post, you know, pandemic. You know, that, you know, a year ago, you know, we shut down the country. So let's talk about it.
Okay, good. So what changes have you seen?
Well, number one, we had an economy that was booming. You had full employment. We still had some issues. You know, African American unemployment was at all time low. Hispanic unemployment was at all time low. Asian, you know, white unemployment all time low. Now we had this pandemic. We shut everything down. We shut down the churches. And I'm not complaining, you know, about the lockdown, because I think we needed the lockdown, you know, at the time, you know, to kind of slow the spread of the pandemic. But it also is kind of wacky because we have more COVID cases than ever and we're still open. So I don't really understand. That don't make sense. You shut down the country and you had 5 cases, but you're wide open with 15 million. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. But you look at, you know, you got, it seems as if like the situation has kind of caused a massive post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, if you look at the crime numbers, you know, in the country, you know, like I said, you had 4,000, you had a 25% increase of murder, of homicide in the United States in 2020, and it's not looking so pretty in 2021. And like I said, the churches closed down for the, you know, for the most part. I'm not complaining about what was done, but I'm saying that what we, it's like healthcare. If you take this pill to save your life, the medical field is still going to look at the side effects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we shut down, you know, we say we save millions of lives by doing it, but okay, but let's look at what we've done to ourselves on the other side of the pandemic.
Millions of lives.
Yeah,
millions, lost.
Yeah, yeah. If I give you radiation therapy, you know, yes, it was, you know, shrink the cancer, but it's going to cause alopecia. You know, it will cause other issues. You know, if you have radiation treatment around your lungs, it's going to decrease your breathing capacity. So what I'm saying is, you know, we need to take a look at, you know, the changes, the long-term impact that this pandemic has had on the United States, you know, our place in the world. You know, $27 trillion debt necklace around your neck, you know, that'll weigh down your economy. You know, China is estimated to replace the United States as the world's largest economy in 2028. That wasn't going to happen until 2040. So, you know, we just need to kind of evaluate, you know, where we were and where we are. And I think, you know, before the pandemic, we were aiming to have a society where we have full employment. Now we've went from that to, okay, now let's go socialist. Let's go after the energy sector. You know, some of the stuff that we're reflecting, you know, about maybe, you know, doing police reform to weed out the bad actors. I'm not against that per se. Like, everything that happened during the pandemic wasn't necessarily bad. But I just don't want to wake up 2 years from now and say, you know what? We lost a lot of good things prior to the pandemic. Church attendance, you know, 30 days, you form a habit. These churches have been closed, you know, for a year, for almost 2 years. You haven't had Easter in 2 years in churches. Not complaining about it. I'm just saying we want to make sure we have a plan to get folks back in those pews when we do decide to reopen. You know, social media now. You had a president of the United States, and we ran the clip about the January 6th riot. If you look at the clip, out of Trump's own mouth, we're going to march peaceful and patriotically. Okay, you have a president now, a former president of the United States, that's been put off of a major social media platform. And keep in mind that the vast majority, that six companies in this country control what you see. You may think, like I said earlier, you may think you're informed. We're not being informed. Because back in the day, you had CNN, Fox, you know, ABC, NBC. Now, when you look at your phone and you get that news clip, six news organizations or six social media organizations control everything that you see. If they can put baby in the corner, if they can put the president of the United States in a corner, I'm not justifying defending Trump. What I'm saying is, if you can silence the president of the United States, that's kind of Orwellian to me. Chris, jump on there.
Yeah, and it's all because of the Chinese Communist Party. You
what's
know,
up,
Google,
Chris?
Hey, man, what's going on?
I'm good, brother.
So, you know, the Chinese Communist Party is where it's all at. Now, we will not have healing in this country until we get to the truth about the Chinese Communist Party virus, the Wuhan Chinese flu, whatever you want to call it, and we get to the bottom of the voter fraud in this past election. There will be no healing. And the Chinese Communist Party is controlling social media right now. Google had an opportunity to do a military contract with the U.S. government 3 or 4 years ago, and they passed on that and went over to China and helped them open up their Chinese Google. And that all that research they did over there, it's being infiltrated right now into all our social media platforms. China knows everything we do. 37 apps that China has out, they're infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party, and the Indian government has banned them. all 37 of them. The major one is TikTok. Anybody who is on TikTok and is an American and loves freedom is a fool. They know everything that is going. The Chinese Communist Party knows everything you're doing when you're on TikTok.
You know what, Chris? You make a good point, and we are almost out of time. But I want to use the time that we have to respond to what you said.
We did an
episode not too long ago where we showed the people that it was a political article that showed that the coronavirus was created.
Which one?
That's the one that's here with us now.
Wuhan.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was political. Political magazine. The Political magazine.
Okay.
Said that in 2018 that U.S. diplomats were cabling to Washington that the Chinese government was manipulating and experimenting with COVID-19. Do not call me saying that we're targeting Asians. I'm not targeting Asians. But the Chinese government was experimenting with COVID-19, based upon the political article, which is a liberal media outlet. So number one, so I'm with you on that.
Okay.
I don't hear any discussion from the president, the secretary of defense. It's like, oops, nobody's even talking about how we're going to address. I mean, if China accidentally, I'm not going to say they did it on purpose, but if the Chinese accidentally dropped a bout of COVID-19 on the planet, some of that $27 trillion bill we discussed earlier, they need to help pay that tab down. If I run into your house, you sue me, I pay you. So China, if we find out this COVID-19 pandemic, leaked out of your labs, send some R&B over here and help knock this tab out, number one. Number two, what was the second thing you were saying, Chris?
Voter fraud.
Oh, voter fraud. Oh, now my opinion on voter fraud is a little different than President Trump. I don't believe that they went in there and actually, changed votes. I just think that they used the pandemic as a way to send out 10 million extra ballots. So but people don't understand.
That's part of it.
But you know what, Chris? There are 10 million more Democrats in the country than Republicans. But the problem is for Democrats. Democrats have a hard time getting their people out. Because during a normal presidential election, voter turnout is only 60% at the ceiling. But when they sent out those 10 million extra ballots due to the pandemic, Joe Biden got a higher percentage of black voters than Barack Obama. And the reason that was done was because if the Democratic Party, and I'm telling their secret, if the Democratic Party sent out 10 million more ballots to Democratic voters, don't think it's strange that the election went the way it did. Because if you look at the states that had Democratic governors who kind of controlled the voter harvesting, i.e. Florida, this is why the Democrats, lost Florida but won Georgia. Because Georgia, Stacey Abrams and her crew, we're doing a little bit more ballot harvesting up there. But, thank you, Chris, for calling in. Y'all stay safe and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers of the world.
Do stay safe, that is for sure. Have an awesome Mother's Day weekend and enjoy the awesome weather that goes along with it. See you next week, guys.
All right, my man.
See you.